But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with some of the terrible, no good, very bad things House Republicans said yes to. Move on to why the U.S. government isn't returning Kilmar Abrego Garcia, and follow all of that up with a bit of the old insider trading, Drumpf edition. Let's begin, shall we? The Republican-controlled House on Capitol Hill just moved the authoritarian plot forward with a voting frenzy that resulted in quite a few jump scares for many Americans. Like how they reversed a Biden rule capping overdraft fees to just $5, because we all know banks are hurting for money, what with everything being so expensive nowadays. Which is probably why they also voted to claw back all $880 billion from Medicare and Medicaid, basically the entire budget for those programs. Because how else are you going to offset adding over $5 trillion to our national deficit? Or how, in the interest of making things more difficult than they have to be, the Social Security Administration's going to exclusively use the disaster formerly known as Twitter to communicate with Americans receiving benefits? Because we all know that boomers stereotypically are awesome using technology. And this, by the way, totally has nothing to do with the South African dipshit wanting to artificially inflate his user numbers by forcing all the nanas and papas in the United States to sign up, or anything to do with how many millions Adolf Hitler spent over the years in hair plugs, jawline fillers, breast reduction surgeries, you know, only to come out of all of that gender-affirming care going from a 3 to a 5. Am I right, boys?
Elon Musk is going to burn America to the ground because nobody thought he was funny.
Yeah.
Because nobody laughed.
And because he needed surgeries to look handsome adjacent if you're not wearing your glasses and it's foggy. You know how many surgeries he's had to look like a 5? This guy, he's going to ruin democracy because he was born a 3, and then he put millions of dollars into becoming a 5.
Three.
He's a born 3 with dreams and delusions of being an 8. He doesn't. He knows deep down he's not getting to 10. So we've got a born 3 dreaming of 8, landing at 5. And he's got an army of 2s. That we're calling Doge, and now we don't get to have democracy anymore. Yeah. Because the right girls didn't want to sleep with him.
Right.
Well, when you put it that way, it makes total sense why a guy who allegedly has to use in vitro to get a woman pregnant after a alleged penis enlarging mishap is on a mission to destroy democracy, because no amount of money or surgical skill is gonna make him look good. But I digress. Among the horrible things Republicans voted on yes this week was the SAVE Act, that repetitive legislation that makes voting as a non-US citizen illegal, which, spoiler alert, it already is. But the SAVE Act, it takes it one step further.
The Republicans' Safeguard American Voter Eligibility, or SAVE Act, would impose new national voter registration requirements, forcing citizens to present a passport or birth certificate every time they register or update their registration. This unprecedented mandate could prevent millions from voting, particularly older Americans, young voters, people of color, and married women who have changed their last name.
As part of the law, it requires that the name on your voter ID that you show when you go to the polls match that on your birth certificate. Now, when women get married in this country, the majority of them change their last name to that of their husbands. Their ID no longer matches what's on their birth certificate, their maiden name. Under this law, they would no longer be allowed to vote. Only their husband would be allowed to vote. There is nothing in the law currently that has any provision for name changes for marriage.
Now, that, my friends, is an important point I think should be highlighted here. Basically, the GOP flapping heads all over the right-wing media have been lying about what the SAVE Act does, especially to women's suffrage. Because while the talking point is that this bill is going to make things illegal, which are already illegal, what it also does is it makes it more difficult for the majority of American women to vote. Evidenced by the fact that when Oregon House Rep. Maxine Dexter introduced a provision that would make it clear this bill would not disenfranchise approximately 134 million women by taking away their right to vote, Republicans said no. In unison. And here is Rep. Maxine Dexter to explain.
Today I introduced an amendment that would have stopped this bill from being implemented unless we could just certify that no eligible married woman would be denied the right to vote. Republicans blocked it. Let me repeat that. Republicans voted down my amendment that just would have ensured that women who are eligible and registered could still cast their ballot. This puts up to 70 million women at risk of disenfranchisement. 70 million. That's one in four voters in this country. It's outrageous that in the year 2025, more than a century after the 19th Amendment was ratified, we still have to defend a woman's right to vote.
And that is why going forward, I don't want to hear from any maggots talking about election integrity when apparently that is just code for women should not be allowed to vote, especially married women. Because when given the chance not to undo 105 years of voter equality, the Party of Family Values said unequivocally,
"It's definitely a no for me, dog."
And that is because Republicans don't give a fuck about women. Oh, and let's not forget the four Democrats who helped make sure that the SAVE Act got passed by turning over to the dark side. That's three Democon men and one self-hating embarrassment of a woman from Washington State. Just in case any of you listening were wondering who deserves to be primaried the next chance we get. And to drive that point home, that the entire GOP and four Dem losers don't give a fuck about women in this country, here's what Attorney General Pickney Bondi recently did to make sure women stay in their place.
Trump's DOJ just restored Mel Gibson's access to guns after he lost it in 2011 due to a domestic violence conviction for beating his ex-girlfriend, Oksana Grigorieva, and their one-year-old daughter. He pleaded guilty to battery after admitting to hitting Grigorieva and got off without any jail time.
Give me a f***ing bat in the side of the head. I'll put you in a f***ing rose garden, you f***. You understand that? Because I'm capable of it. I should have woke you up and said, f***ing blow me, f***. I'll burn the goddamn house down. But blow me first.
If you get by a pack of diddly, your fault.
But Trump's DOJ ignored the law to restore Gibson's gun rights. They even fired a career pardon attorney for refusing to recommend that Gibson's gun rights be restored.
That's right, ladies, and especially you women in relationships. Pam, the poorest excuse for an attorney Bondi decided that doing a solid for one of Trump's douchebag friends is way more important than upholding 18 U.S.C. Section 922-D9 that states, if you have been convicted of a misdemeanor crime of domestic violence, you do not get the right to have a gun. Even if a 34 times convicted felon of a president bestows upon you the totally made up title of special ambassador to Hollywood, partially because Hollywood is a city, not a country, but mostly because the grand adult diaper thinks a washed-up, alcoholic, out-of-work actor is the best person to advise him on, quote, bringing Hollywood back bigger, better, and stronger than ever before. No wonder this guy's greatest achievement so far is bankrupting six companies, and soon to be one country. A point we'll get to later on in the show, but for now, folks, let's focus on the lengths to which box color blonde Bondi went to make sure Mel got his pew-pews back. Starting with firing Liz Oyer, the former DOJ official who was told to restore Gibson's gun rights, then refused, and within 4 hours was escorted by armed security guards out of the building she'd worked in for over 13 years. Or, as Liz put it, when she testified in front of Congress after being threatened by the DOJ not to.
Democratic lawmakers are set to host a shadow hearing.
This is a shadow hearing. Democrats don't have the power to call an official hearing.
Two former Justice Department attorneys will be questioned about their accounts of the Trump administration's pressure campaign inside the DOJ. Liz Oyer says she was fired after refusing to restore gun ownership rights to actor Mel Gibson.
Ms. Oyer, I understand the Deputy Attorney General tried to send armed marshals to your home at night to deliver a clear message not to speak to us at today's hearing.
Perhaps the most personally upsetting part of the story is the lengths to which the leadership of the department has gone to prevent me from testifying here today. On Friday night, around 9:15, I learned that the Deputy Attorney General's office had directed the department's Security and Emergency Planning Service to send two armed special deputy U.S. Marshals to my home to serve me with a letter. The letter was a warning to me about the risks of testifying here today. It's very concerning that the department is currently being run by people, all of whom represented the president personally. There are certain decision-making authorities of the department that have been delegated to people who personally represent the president, including oversight of matters of ethics and professional responsibility. That's evidenced in the letter that was sent to me, which was sent to me by someone who was one of President Trump's personal defense attorneys. DOJ is entrusted with keeping us safe, upholding the rule of law, and protecting our civil rights. It is not a personal favor bank for the president.
Liz ain't wrong, folks. Even the Karen running the DOJ has a history of using her D-average lawyering skills to help out her favorite adjudicated rapist with problems such as lawsuits against his now-defunct university. One of those grifts that he used over the years, you know, to amass a fortune that allows Donnie Don't Got Two Pennies to afford to stay in exclusively Trump-branded locations. Because nothing says, I'm not just paper rich, like only renting your own hotel rooms and eating at your own restaurants and playing at your own golf courses, because, of course, you don't actually pay for it. And while we're on the subject of other people's money, American taxpayers are footing a bill, $6 million worth, so that Eric's dad can send whoever he wants to rot in prison in El Salvador. Seems like a lot of money to me to spend, but then you consider we're forking over $30 million so far in golf trips for the Fanta fascist, and we're supposed to be saving money by getting rid of waste, fraud, and abuse, but what do I know? Anywho, the saga of Kilmer Abrego Garcia is not over yet because he has not been returned to the United States. No thanks to the chief jester over at the bogus SCOTUS who put a pause on a court order to have Garcia returned so the supreme disaster could take up more time to figure things out. Now, the details in this case are not hard for anyone to understand, even maggots. Kilmer was disappeared on March 12th, and he was flown to El Salvador with other people that Mambo Mussolini said were dangerous criminals without first proving their claim with evidence because of the Alien Enemies Act of 230 years ago. Who gives a fuck? And so a federal judge ordered Kilmer to be returned on April 10th, after this man had nearly spent a month in one of the most deadly prisons in the world. So Trump's ambulance chasers asked the bogus SCOTUS to step in, and they took a couple of more days to figure out, yeah, you know what? The lower court was right. Kilmer should be returned to the United States. Although they did give Schittler the right to use the Enemy Aliens Act to keep disappearing people, with the caveat that those people they want to make go away still get due process before being shipped to a gulag rental in South America. Because human decency in America isn't dead, It's just dying. Very slowly. And by slowly, I mean the ironic argument of semantics being made regarding Kilmar coming to America by none other than the DEI press secretary Lipless Levitt, who made every English teacher in this country cringe when she said this.
President El Salvador is coming to the White House on Monday. Does President Trump want him to bring Kilmar Abrego Garcia with him?
The Supreme Court made their ruling last night very clear that it's the administration's responsibility to facilitate the return, not to effectuate the return.
Oh my, is the only working gold digger actually playing a word definition game to explain why Kilmar is not on his way to the United States or here now? I mean, we're talking about a 5-hour flight. And we've already heard from the lower courts that Kilmar needed to be returned days ago, but we have to stop all of that to have a conversation about how the word facilitate just means the Trump regime has to make the return process easy and not actually put Kilmar's return into operation with the word effectuate. And I just want to make one thing very, very clear. The Supreme Jesters didn't even sign their names on this ruling because cowards do not come out and demand anything. Instead, they make a vague suggestion that it would be really cool if Fat Nixon didn't block the way for Kilmar's release and then return. Although, to be honest, when asked where Kilmar is at the moment, Trump's barely lawyers said they don't fucking know. This is shocking. It's a shocking thing to admit in court, since it raises the idea that maybe Kilmar being returned isn't happening because they don't want to do it without shipping a 6-foot-long box back to the United States. Or maybe they don't know where the fuck he is, like they said in court. And while the right wing pretends they don't know exactly what due process is and how it applies to people in the United States because they're on United States soil, or that entering a country illegally is just a civil crime and not a criminal one, it's even more shocking to me personally to hear old Yemtits say this about what he wants to do to United States citizens where their citizenship is not in question.
Over the weekend, President Trump said that he would be willing to have U.S. citizens deported to El Salvador.
The president there said he would be willing to take American citizens in the federal prison population. Is that one of the ideas you're going to be discussing?
Well, I love that. If he would take them, I'd be honored to give them. I don't know what the law says on that, but I can't imagine the law would say anything different. If they can house these horrible criminals for a lot less money than it costs us, I'm all for it. But I have suggested that, you know, why should it stop just at people that cross the border illegally? We have some horrible criminals, American grown and born. I think if we could get El Salvador or somebody but to take them, I'd be very happy with it. But I have to see what the law says.
How would that work legally, and how many people would potentially be available for that?
The president has discussed this idea quite a few times publicly. He's also discussed it privately. You're referring to the president's idea for American citizens to potentially be deported. The president has said if it's legal, right? He's not sure. We are not sure if there is. It's an idea that he has simply floated and has discussed very publicly as in the effort of transparency.
Oh, that's all it is. So just offhand mentioning something that's been discussed privately is what you call transparency? Because it seems to me that Thin Lips McGee in the press room should ask her billionaire and quite elderly husband for a thesaurus this Christmas so she can understand the words that are actually coming out of her mouth. Because we all understand that the people Trump's icy SS soldiers keep kidnapping in broad daylight and being called gang members without evidence, we get that. And it isn't lost on any of us that the reason why DHS infiltrated the Social Security's database was to find tax-paying migrants who live here on a court-ordered work permit has nothing to do with gang affiliation. We get that. just like having tattoos, do not make you a member of Tren de Agua, because that gang does not have particular markers like tattoos for their members. It doesn't exist. Even ones with crowns. That's not an indicator that a person is part of any gang, for that matter. But hey, whatever keeps everyone from talking about the insider trading and market manipulation Payless Putin did right before our very eyes. Picture it. America, just a couple of weeks ago. The Slobfather announces tariffs of every amount anyone could ever imagine for all countries in the entire world, regardless of whether or not the only inhabitants on that island are penguins, so America could have another 1930s-style economic collapse. I mean, Gilded Age. A move that sent Fox, not a news channel, into bullshit overdrive with all kinds of nonsensical reasons why the stock market crashing several times is actually a good thing.
It is going to have an effect on Main Street. Some things will become higher priced because companies will pass on the cost of tariffs to consumers.
Losing money costs you nothing. Everyone loses money. It costs you nothing.
The uncertainty in the stock market, it isn't necessarily a negative. It can be an indication that things are going to work out. It's just that things are, they're uncertain right now.
Could Trump's tariffs be the ultimate testosterone boost? I guess this is based on the idea that a lot of jobs were manly, construction, manufacturing, TV host, that were then marginalized in this kind of cheap labor economy.
We shipped jobs that gave men who work with their hands for a living and rely on brawn and physicality off to other countries to build up their middle class. And then we imported millions and millions of illegals.
We want jobs that come back where we build things and we make things and repair things. We want to build robots and repair robots.
You know, you don't need a college degree. You can start working with your hands.
When you sit behind a screen all day, it makes you a woman. Studies have shown this. Studies have shown this. And if you're out working, like building robots like Harold, you are around other guys. You're not around HR ladies and lawyers.
What do you do?
Gives you estrogen.
What do you
do? Let me finish, Judge.
You I'm sit finished. Behind the screen.
Yeah. Also, if you got a desk job, work shirtless.
No. No one needs to see the aging dad bod of anyone who works at Faux News, especially with Republicans trying to cut Medicare and Medicaid. I mean, no one can afford to have their eyes burn out of their sockets in this kind of economy. And you know what? I'm going to say the quiet part out loud. Losing your life savings, 401k, or whatever little stocks that you can afford right now isn't helping Americans when the price of eggs has reached Waffle House surcharge levels. And not for nothing, but when your boss is crashing the global economy every other day, it's probably not a good idea to get all dolled up for an interview when you're just going to have to say something that's going to make everything worse. Yeah, I'm talking about you, Mascara Vance.
Incurring a huge amount of debt to buy things that other countries make for us. And to make it a little bit more crystal clear, we borrow money from Chinese peasants to buy the things those Chinese peasants manufacture. That is not a recipe for economic prosperity. It's not a recipe for low prices, and it's not a recipe for good jobs in the United States of America.
What in the too much Maybelline Foundation induced seizure is this mascara dunce cap talking about? Seriously, so far in the year of your Lord 2025, China owns about $760 billion in U.S. government bonds. And don't even get me started on how much Japan has bought into the American dream. I don't know if maggot morons realize how America can afford to be the hamburger and beer capital of the world without other countries buying our U.S. bonds. Because, spoiler alert, it's other countries buying into U.S. bonds that fund our existence, just like we do for them when we buy their government bonds. The rest is negotiated through trade deals, like the USAMC stupid Donnybrook created during his first regime to replace NAFTA. But now he says that's a disaster, probably because the lumbering lardass recognizes his own work. Which brings us back to the on and off and on and off and on again and pause tariffs that caused the stock market to crash and crash and crash until it didn't.
Is there pain in the market at some point you're unwilling to tolerate this idea of a Trump put? Is there a threshold?
I think your question is so stupid. I mean, I think it's I don't want anything to go down. But sometimes you have to take medicine to fix something.
Will you do a 90-day pause? Would you consider that?
Or Bill, yeah, you know, I think that the president is going to decide what the president's going to decide.
One day later.
He's authorized a 90-day pause on tariffs.
Donald Trump has just made a pretty significant post on Truth Social. I have authorized a 90-day pause and a substantially lowered reciprocal tariff during this period of 10%. Also effective immediately.
Can you walk us through your thinking about why you decided to put a 90-day pause?
Well, I thought that people were jumping a little bit out of line. They were getting yippy, you know? They were getting a little bit yippy, a little bit afraid, unlike these champions. I did a 90-day pause for the people that didn't retaliate, because I told them, if you retaliate, we're going to double it. And that's what I did with China, because they did retaliate.
Yeah, so the tariffs on penguins and other land masses that don't have a trade deficit with the United States based on a ChatGPT equation, that was just the old smoke and mirrors, I guess, right? I mean, it's not like the whole tariff thing was about manipulating the global markets in order to reduce stock costs so the ultra wealthy could buy up everything at discounted prices, was it? Because if it was, that would be so illegal. Not that we'd expect anything less from a man who's been convicted of 34 felonies so far, but at least his regime reps would have known that this was going to happen. You'd think, right? A question Nevada Rep. Stephen Horsford had for Trump's trade rep at a recent House hearing.
Mr. Trade Representative, are you aware that the tariffs have been paused?
I am, yes.
When were you made aware of that? Did you know that this was under discussion, and why did you not include that as part of your opening remarks?
So typically what I don't do is divulge the contents of my discussions.
So the trade representative hasn't spoken to the president of the United States about a global reordering of trade?
Yes, I have. I've just been in the hearing with you, sir.
But yet he announced it on a tweet? WTF! It looks like your boss just pulled the rug out from under you and paused the tariffs. You just found out 3 seconds ago, sitting here, we saw you. If you came here knowing that these tariffs were going to be turned off, why didn't you include that in your opening statement? Why didn't you reference that as part of your testimony?
Well, I don't disclose my conversations with the president, sir.
Is this market manipulation?
No.
Why not? If it was a plan, if it was always the plan, how is this not market manipulation?
It's not market manipulation, sir.
Well, then what is it? Because it sure is not a strategy.
Oh, I know the answer. My good sir, this absolutely was market manipulation. And I've got the receipts with me right here. Roll tape.
On the morning of April 9th, he told his followers on Truth Social, "This is a great time to buy," before announcing lower tariffs that caused stocks to rise. The NASDAQ stock rose the highest, 12%.
Naturally, once Trump made the announcement, the markets had a massive jump. Market manipulation, anyone?
Not to mention, what he did might have been illegal market manipulation and insider trading.
Many of you in the media clearly missed the art of the deal. You clearly failed to see what President Trump is doing here.
The White House press secretary, they all described this as the art of the deal and fancy negotiations. This is BS.
There is just all too much opportunity for people in the White House and the administration to be insider trading.
Trump had invited some of the wealthiest finance people, bankers, executives into the Oval Office. And after the stock market started skyrocketing, Trump started bragging about how much money they made.
This is Charles Schwab. It's not just a company, it's actually an individual. He made $2.5 billion today, and he made $900 million. That's not bad, because, you know, he's a financial.
I don't know what they've done with the Securities and Exchange Commission, but they've actually got super sophisticated software to be able to figure this stuff out within seconds. So if people were trading inappropriately, that will be understood. People sold their stock into a falling market in the last few days. That money will never come back for them. So this is really real.
Damn straight, this is really real. And I'll put 5 on it. Martha Stewart is pissed the fuck off because she had to do 5 months in a West Virginia prison, affectionately referred to as Camp Cupcake, for insider trading. I'm sure that this place could fit our 300-plus pound presidents in there just fine. I mean, it's got cupcake in the title. And if not him, how about this box color blonde, bad built, butch body cheerleader from Georgia who is definitely way the fuck insider trading? Between the hours of 9:37 a.m. and whenever Girth Vader put his paws on it. Because while the world watched the stock market take a nosedive like it was saying goodbye to this cruel world off the top of Mount Everest, Mad Marge from Georgia was thinking to herself, you know, now is a good time to buy. And buy she did. Mad Dog Gangrene went shopping like she was at the clearance rack at Walmart. She bought large amounts of stock during the dip, such as Amazon, Apple, Nike, Lululemon, UPS, and many others like Caterpillar, FedEx, JP Morgan, Berkshire Hathaway, just to name a few. And in the hopes that buying cheap during Trump's crash would pay off once he put yet another pause on those tariffs, causing the stock market to shoot up like a rocket that was not built by Space Explode, which it did, because of dip traders like Monster Truck Garage, using her super insider knowledge of the pause to buy, causing the massive spike we all saw and regain of losses caused by the tariffs in the first place, which clearly has nothing at all to do with world leaders absolutely not kissing Hitler's ass. A thing none of them did, by the way. Nope. The continuous crashing of our economy and the global market at large was all about making money for billionaire donors and one prehistoric side chick. Other than that, there's only one thing that always makes the rich even richer.
Why do you do this game? What's it all for? What do you want?
In a word, chaos.
And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. You can follow me, Suzanne Posel, or the show This Week Again on social media, platforms like Blue Sky, Threads, Insta, Facebook. We're always available for your listening pleasure on places like RSS, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Tadir for now.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
These are difficult times. And if you believe in justice, progress, and democracy, the news you read and listen to can be pretty depressing. And that's why there's a new podcast called Good News for Lefties and America. Every day it features positive news stories for progressive listeners. Because no matter how disturbing the headlines might be, there's always hope we can build on for a better tomorrow. Good News for Lefties and America. Listen on this platform at goodnewsforlefties.com or wherever podcasts are heard.